Avengers Doomsday comes for us all. That's all I know for sure. The question isn't, are you prepared to watch it? Yes. Many times. The question is, who will you be when you open your eyes?
I'm going to be Steve Rogers. Hooray! Just before he gets his head ripped off by Victor Von Doom, because that's a bit of a mismatch of power levels. Anyway, hello, Pod. I'm Chris Hewitt. Welcome to something we haven't done in a long, long time. We've assembled our very own team of Avengers for a trailer breakdown, or should I say, trailers breakdown. Or should I say, trailers breakdowns?
Or should you say, narrative crumbs breakdowns?
Narrative pieces of narrative information breakdown. That's exactly what this is. This is a special episode dedicated to the four, count them, four, not Thor, four trailers that dropped first in cinemas and then online over the last few weeks for a little film I like to call Avengers Doomsday.
That small independent movie.
Small. We like to shine the spotlight on movies that need, frankly, all the help they can get. And Franklin, all the help they can get. Am I right? Am I right? Small nuggets of movies, little gems that otherwise might go unheralded. Oh, yeah. Herald? Galactus? No.
Different film.
And joining me to discuss the four trailers that dropped and get into them and talk about them and speculate wildly about them are two colleagues of such lethal cunning. She's yawned five times since I pressed record. What's wrong, Helen O'Hara?
I don't know. I should have had a third coffee and it's too late now. Hello.
Helen never has a third cup of coffee at home. We're also joined by Amon Warman.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. 2026.
2026.
We made it.
What would you give it so far? Out of 26.
26?
Would you give it 20 out of 26?
That's a solid 13 so far.
A solid, what, 50%?
I mean, what's 13 days in?
What's happened?
We're going to give it a bit of time.
Are we 13 days in?
How many days are we in?
We're 14 days in.
Yeah, I'm not going to sort of, you know, give it a higher rating just yet.
But 50, that indicates that something bad has happened.
Nothing personally bad.
Okay.
But, yeah.
You've seen the world, right?
Exactly.
What? Well, what's wrong?
It's too long to go into. Let's not bother.
No, I've just been looking at the countdown clock to Doomsday, which feels a little on the nose, actually. But I still have a cold. In case people are wondering why I sound rattly, but don't worry, folks. I'm hoping to stay alive.
And so are we in this small enclosed space
until Avengers Doomsday hits, which is can't be bothered looking it up. But
it's
December 18th. But we'll see it early. Helen is now yawned six times.
I will keep you updated on
Helen's yawnometer. Helen, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about each of the four trailers in turn.
Okay.
And individually. And then we're going to talk about them as a whole. What do you think of the strategy that has been adopted by Disney and Marvel in releasing the trailers in this way? The omissions, you know, that we've had trailers dedicated to Steve Rogers, Thor, the X-Men, or three of them anyway, the Wakandans, and the Fantastic Four, or one of them anyway. but there are a lot of people who haven't had a trailer. What the fuck is going on? What does this mean? And of course, we haven't seen the big boy himself yet. We haven't seen Victor Von Doom.
So many people that the big boy could refer to.
It's a dangerous game, isn't it? But you've yawned six times.
That's not connected to the subject.
I'm surprised by this because we're about to discuss your golden boy, your big boy, Steve Aloysius Rogers. He is returning to the Marvel Cinematic Universe as played by Chris Evans, as evidenced in the first trailer that was dropped the day that Avatar Fire and Ash came out, so December 19th.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that trailer first, but Hell's Bells, where do you stand on your Steve-o-meter? Are you squeam with excitement? Are you tentatively reserved about what may happen? What's going on?
I'm a bit more reserved. I think I'm feeling the way I think a lot of people are feeling, which is that some of these characters, notably Steve, got a really satisfying finale You'll notice I didn't call it a happy ending because I know what you do with that phrase. They got a satisfying finale at the end of Endgame. And now, you know, to bring that character back, and you have speculated a lot over the years about Steve Rogers, like in this incarnation coming back. And I have consistently poo-pooed it.
I have poo-pooed. You poo-pooed me.
I poo-pooed you. And narratively, I stand by that poo-pooing. However, I think we have to hope that the people who gave him that satisfying send-off,
including all the three people who are involved with this on a creative level, well, including Kevin Feige, four people, and five if you include Chris Evans.
Sure.
The Russo brothers and Stephen McFeely.
Stephen McFeely, the screenwriter, and those two you just mentioned.
Yes.
You have to hope that they have a reason for doing what they're doing.
Yes.
I think there's also still a lot of room for this not to be exactly the same Steve Rogers. To me, it makes more sense if it isn't the same Steve Rogers.
Yes.
Just in terms of a timeline thing, because this is a young person and not an old person. So it would seem that we're in a different universe. And I feel like the...
Well,
forgive
maybe.
Me. Yeah. Okay, but I feel like the end game, if you will, of at least the Doomsday Secret Wars... duofecta, I'm just making up words now, has got to be a sort of collapse of the multiverse. So I think there is room for a lot of multiversal shenaniganery.
This is the conclusion of the multiverse saga.
Yes.
Miss after miss after miss. So it could be...
It could be a different
It could
one.
Be our Steve. It might be a different Steve. Amon, where do you stand on that, first of all?
Interesting about the different Steves. I think it would serve them well if it was a different Steve, given how satisfying the ending was. We'll see what ultimately happens with that. Like, I messaged you when this trailer dropped and I said, shrug.
Because, yes, you did.
Yeah.
You did.
I was very indifferent to this trailer, not only because of what we're saying in terms of the satisfying ending, but just it didn't really show very much beyond, okay, Steve Rogers is back and he has a baby. It wasn't much. I didn't really get me excited, but then
it's
I also...
It's an unusual replacement for a shield, isn't it? I don't imagine that baby's going to hold up much in battle.
And then I also thought about the impact the return of Steve Rogers would have on Sam Wilson. And that is when I began to get a bit upset a bit, that Steve Rogers was coming back, because I think... just by his mere presence, it undermines Sam Wilson. And I know that they could do a thing where, like, Sam Wilson is still Captain America and Steve is Nomad or something else.
I think there's a very, very pointed reason why it says Steve Rogers will return
in
Avengers Doomsday and not Captain America.
And I get that. But if I can paint a picture for you, imagine you're a beloved teacher and you're retiring and you leave and then your replacement comes in and the quality dips.
the quality of what dips?
The quality of teaching dips. Just go
ahead. Okay. No, that's good. That's good. I like.
And then this teacher who is so beloved and is retired walks back into the classroom. Immediately, that new teacher...
Football management might be a better analogy. Do you want to go with that?
I mean, for you, of course you would say that.
Well, no, I think it's easy for people to understand. So, you know, saying on a slot...
Teaching is not easy to understand?
I don't understand it. You've heard me before.
Come on.
I flunked first grade out of this other thing. Imagine Arne Slot right now, who's a Liverpool manager who's struggling. Imagine he's doing a press conference and the door opens and Jurgen Klopp walks in and goes, ha, 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 I'm back to take over at Anfield. And people go, oh my God, it's Jurgen Klopp. And they start...
That's essentially what
uncontrollably,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Stop rotting, it. Rotting. Yeah. No, come on. Okay. You didn't need to go there.
No.
But that is how I feel about the return of Steve Rogers. And it's just frustrating. I feel like if Sam Wilson had been better established, if they had done a better job with him post-Endgame, I would feel less annoyed by that. But I think that moment in Endgame, which they share, which at the time was huge for me and sort of drew like a really cool reaction for me. I remember seeing that for the first time being like, this is amazing. The passing of the shield, passing the mantle, great. They have rendered that moment almost meaningless for me by virtue of what they've done with Sam Wilson beyond that. Because with six episodes of a TV show and an entire film, they keep on asking the question, is Sam Wilson worthy enough to be Captain America? Where in my mind, that moment was answering that question, yes, it's done, he's Captain America. Instead of that being a moment where they could build off of, that they could build from. It just feels like he hasn't been allowed to really claim that role, and always constantly being asked, is he worth enough to be Captain America? They did 6 episodes of a TV show on it, and the entire film, which he was sidelined in, by the way. So he hasn't been allowed to fully embrace that role. He hasn't come into his own as a leader. We've gotten 4 trailers, not a whisper of Sam Wilson, and he is, as far as we know, the leader of at least an Avengers squad.
Yeah.
That is really...
But we haven't seen the leaders of any of those squads,
We haven't seen a single Avenger apart from Thor.
We don't assume Thor will be leading a squad. Historically, that's not what's happened. It's not one of the things that's been speculated about following that Marvel event with the lineups that we think indicate something about maybe who's falling into which team. So there's an idea that the quote-unquote new Avengers, the Thunderbolts, are going to be one sort of little faction here, that Sam Wilson will be leading a faction, that the sort of Fantastic Four Wakandans might form a faction. It's not clear.
And the X-Men, I guess.
And the X-Men, yeah. And maybe we've seen a leader of the X-Men, but otherwise we have not seen any of those factions. And we still have a huge number of people who we don't know where they fall on any of those spectrums. So I wouldn't consider that a snub in any way of Sam Wilson, who I think is another character that these directors and the screenwriter and Kevin Feige, presumably, really care about.
They created this character. They served Sam Wilson better than anyone else has served him in the MCU. So I think that they feel a sense of duty and responsibility towards Sam Wilson. I don't think Sam Wilson's going to be badly served in this movie. And I think by the time the dust settles and the movie ends, he'll still be Captain America. I don't think Steve Rogers is coming to reclaim the mantle of Captain America in this movie. What's interesting for me about this trailer is a number of things. So people may know we had Joe and Anthony Russo, they were kind enough to guest on our live show, episode 700, just the other day. And we played a fun game of what can we ask you about Avengers Doomsday that you can tell us this early in the game.
Oh, and I got some cracking scoops.
You got some cracking scoops. Joe Russo was very good about the strategy that's been adopted with these teasers, because the obvious thing to do with Avengers Doomsday, the conventional thing to do, would be to do what they did with Infinity War and Endgame and do a little teaser and a Doom-centric teaser, and Doom is coming, and maybe hint at Downey's voice, you know, or maybe get a sense of the cloak. We got a little look at him in profile at the end of the Fantastic Four first steps, but we haven't seen or heard Doom yet. That's the conventional way to approach a teaser for Avengers Doomsday. What they've done is completely bonkers instead. They have done basically 4... I don't even know these things are in the movie. These are excerpts, short films. I don't know exactly what they are, but Joe Russo said that they are almost, I think, beyond the movie in terms of marketing, that, you know, trailers are now pieces of narrative information, and that these 4 trailers, for want of a better word, are pieces of narrative information that tell you, give you little clues, little teases and hints as to what Avengers Doomsday, a film that I know fuck all about, is going to be ultimately in terms of its tone and in terms of its content. So I've been scrutinizing these trailers with a little more than I had previously, where I was just like, oh my God, Steve's back. Great. Thor is in a forest looking sad. Okay. And now I'm looking at him going, okay, well, what does this tell us about where this is going? But just if we'll get into that in a second, but just the very fact that they have led with Chris Evans, that they have led with Steve Rogers. Regular listeners of the podcast will know, as Helen has said, I've been saying that Steve will be in Avengers Doomsday, or whatever Avengers Doomsday was back in the day, for a long, long time. It's a law of averages. If I keep banging on long enough about something, I'll get something right one of these days. But I didn't expect them to go a year out. By the way, Steve Rogers is in this, and I don't think that they're saying that just for him to show up for 5 minutes.
Nope.
The Russo said to us in our interview, and they did release a little statement on Instagram saying something relatively similar, that this is the character that brought them into the MCU. Same thing for Steve McFeely. They want to do right by this character. They want to continue his story and his central role in this. So I think Chris Evans has been doing a lot of shooting over the last few months, which is interesting, because the scuttlebutt we'd heard was that it was obviously a Doom movie and then a Thor movie. But where's Steve Rogers fit into this? And Where do you feel about them revealing this a year out?
I mean, it might not be 100% true. I mean, in the sense that it could mean he's very important emotionally to the movie. His death 10 minutes in sets everything else in motion.
Helen, how can you, of all people, say that?
I'm just saying, I don't think we can assume anything from what they're willing to tell us right now. Okay. Or at least we can assume some things, because otherwise it's going to be a very short podcast. But I don't think we can, I don't think we can take any you know, firm positions on the amount of Steve Rogers that will be steady in this film right now.
Do you think it's our Steve, or do you think it's multiversal Steve?
I think it's our Steve.
So the time travel rather than multiverse travel. Although, of course, as we know from Loki, the two are not necessarily distinct.
Precisely. Sure. And there's going to be definitely some timey-wimey shit going on here, because the Fantastic Four in their universe are in the 60s, and now they're in the modern day in our world.
Well, we assume, do we know that they were in specifically the 60s?
I think it was 68.
Mm. Okay. Mm. Well, I mean, when you travel through space, you do travel through time. So they've always been hand-waving that anyway. So they could hand-wave in the other direction and actually make it mean something for once, I guess. I believe there are also behind-the-scenes pictures indicating there may be a visit to the TVA as well.
Well, yeah, the fact that Tom Hiddleston's in this would indicate
that
as well.
Would also suggest that, yes.
Yeah. It's going to be very, very exciting. I do think it's our Steve. Mm. As much as I think, you know, having a multiversal Steve on the board might be interesting, I don't think they're going to bring Tony back. So I was wondering that initially when I first saw that the first two traitors were Steve and then Thor, I thought, well, okay, well, does that mean the third traitor is going to be Natasha and the fourth traitor is going to be Tony? And then obviously they didn't do that. So I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to get this spectacularly wrong right now. I don't think they're bringing Tony back. I don't think Downey is pulling double duty. I think Tony is dead and will stay dead.
Like at least, Jacob Marley.
At least, yes. At least our version of Tony. But I think it might make more emotional sense. The Avengers who worked with Tony Stark, the Peter Parker, etc., aren't going to get that emotional kicker of watching Tony Stark walk on, you know, resurrected from the grave. But when they do see a young Steve come into our world, somehow our timeline, that might give them a bit of an emotional kicker. It certainly will, you know, affect Bucky. It'll certainly affect Sam. Mm-hmm. I think it makes a lot more narrative sense for it to be our Steve.
Could he be in the same timeline as the Fantastic Four? I'm just spitballing here.
Mm. Potentially.
I mean, Peggy would still be in her potentially 40-ish.
I think that world does seem to be the FF for the only heroes of any kind. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe.
In terms of the OG Avengers, I mean, you're mentioning Natasha.
Yes.
Is she not dead?
Natasha? I think she's dead.
You think she's dead, but you think she's back?
I thought she was going to be back. I thought they were going to announce her. I thought they were going to say, Scarlet's back as well, by the way.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
I think if Scarlet is back, that will be a multiversal.
Well, yeah, pretty much has to be, because I don't see any.
Yeah.
There's no other way out, is there?
Unless
again,
you go to,
no time travel, I suppose.
You go to form her with a massive spatula, and you just scrape her off and then stick her into the machine. No? Okay. Yeah.
I am surprised that they revealed the Chris Evans returning so early.
Yeah.
The trailer, and that being the first trailer, though, does fit into my theory, given some of the other trailers we've gotten in terms of Doom and Super Babies. Because you got Cap Jr. in the first trailer.
Yep.
You got Love with Thor.
Yes.
And then, obviously, at the end of Fantastic Four, you had Doom and Franklin.
Yes.
So there's something going on there which fits into the Cap reveal and with the baby and everything. So
yeah, I think there's something in that as well. Super babies.
Do you think it could be T'Challa's baby that they're worried about in the Wakanda trailer too?
Oh, I had not considered that.
I mean, if we're talking super babies.
Yeah, with the X-Men, like, it's either Rachel Summers or Cable. Probably
Nathan
Rachel.
Summers, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, which is probably why, I mean, we'll get to it, but Cyclops is obviously very upset at one point.
Honestly don't, because we don't know what the story of this film is. And so somehow we're 20 minutes into this breakdown and we're still in the first trailer. But it's an open book at this point in time, but it's a very closed book.
It's a closed book.
And I genuinely don't know. We've talked about this in the past, haven't we? We talked about the fact that, you know, is Doom going around collecting super babies or trying to take their powers because he's a big old power usurper, isn't he?
He very much is. That's his thing.
Is he doing that across the multiverse? And is he then, as a result, triggering incursions? Is this basically just like a massive, mega-budgeted version of Jet Li's The One?
which I like, by the way.
Listen, who could hate that movie? Nobody could hate that movie in any multiverse you care to mention. Is that what Doom is doing in this?
So, who knows? I mean, it would constitute an existential threat to everybody, mm-hmm. which is, of course, what we need here. Mm-hmm. If he were stealing super babies and or their powers and then destroying their universes behind him.
Mm-hmm. As a way of covering up his crimes.
Well, yeah, and as a way of being sure, really sure of getting away with it. Because if you destroy Nathan or Rachel Summers' entire universe, ain't nobody going to come after you going, hey, where's that kid? So I guess that would be one way of away with it.
Mm. I've said for a while, I think it's Doom at the end of Thunderbolts who shows up in that spaceship. I think he has either absconded with Franklin or he has taken Franklin's powers and made things very powerless indeed for the Fantastic Four's universe. And who has the scientific know-how to perhaps chase Doom across the multiverse?
Yeah.
Reed Richards.
Yeah. Are we going to get back into like anchor beings and this kind of shit?
I really hope not. I think that was something they made up in Doomsday. Doomsday and Wolverine, Deadpool and Wolverine, but possibly. I mean, I don't know because Tony's the anchor being of the MCU, right? So,
well, you think, yeah, maybe it's Steve, or maybe
it is Steve.
Steve's baby, apparently. I don't know.
Steve, but how would Steve's baby have be special powered to that extent? You know, just from Steve and Peggy.
No, it's destiny, she's a muggle, isn't it? It's not just about powers. It's about destiny, isn't it? That's what the anchor being thing in Deadpool. Which again, I cannot stress enough. Very silly film, no necessary connection to this. But if we are going the anchor baby route, anchor person route, anchor being route, then it would maybe, it doesn't have to be the most powerful person. It just has to be the person who is the fulcrum around which everything revolves.
Anchor person, the legend of Dr. Doom. He has many leather-bound books and his apartment smells of rich mahogany.
I believe both of those things to be true.
Dr. Von Doom, you have a massive erection.
He also ate a big wheel of cheese.
I'm not mad. I'm actually impressed. That would be an amazing crossover. Thank you. Yes, please. One last thing about Steve before we do what we said we would do and actually talk about these fucking things. Some people have said that have taken the tact, and I have obviously shunned these people from my life and deleted their numbers from my phones. Oh, that this is an act of desperation, that letting audiences know a year out that it's okay. Chris Evans is here. Steve Rogers is here. It's all going to be okay. Do you remember when you loved the old Avengers? They're all coming back, apart from maybe the ones who are like proper dead. Steve's definitely coming back. Don't worry. We've got you. We've got you. We know there's been some teething troubles over the last few years. We've got you. Is there any validity to that opinion whatsoever?
I mean, I get why people might say that. That's for sure. I think we have to hope that the people who gave him his send-off in the first place have a good reason to bring him back.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't like that to be the only answer. And I think that would be a very bad sign if that were the case.
Yeah.
But if they can do something with him and make it worthwhile, I guess.
Yeah. I think multiple things can be true. It does feel a bit like a panic move. They are rushing into Doom. And I think there's anybody who can... When you're introducing Doom and a Fantastic Four have no relationship to the Doom you're about to introduce, I think it's fair to say that they're rushing into this a little bit. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not doing it for a good reason. We won't ultimately find out what that could be for a few months yet. But yeah, I think multiple things can be true in that regard, which is why my dial for this is still set at intrigue rather than full-blown excitement.
Hell yes. Yeah.
Well, that's good, though. You don't want to peak too early.
Well, I mean, I just think about the build to Doomsday and I compare it to the build to the first Avengers and Infinity War and Endgame. And part of the reason why those were such sort of singular moments in time is because the build was so perfectly done. I know there's a lot of chaos behind the scenes, but it felt like they had a plan and everything was leading to that plan, which is why it became such a moment. Doomsday does not have that
at all. That's because they had that to work on. Those films had a successful run of movies leading up to them that everybody was on the same page with, the same sense of excitement with, and they were able to rely on that. I think what's interesting this time is they are kind of working from first principles a little bit more than they ever have done since the first Iron Man, in the sense that they are working from a, you're not that interested, but we're going to make you interested. And I think that is, it's a difficult position to be in. Obviously, it's probably not the one that Marvel would have chosen for their next two big Avengers films. But I think if they are, if that is what is happening, if this is them trying to sort of work from first principles and get us interested again, then that's an interesting way of seeing these narrative fragments or whatever we're going
with. I think there is also something in the sense of reassuring the audience that, yes, don't worry. We know. These are smart people. Feige is a smart dude. The Russo is a smart dude. McFeely is a smart dude. I've said this before. They know all the things that we're saying. They are having all the conversations that we have had. We're not coming into this off a run of five-star belters the way that we were for Infinity War and Endgame. The audiences maybe don't know or love these characters. Certainly the likes of Shang-Chi, who, as I've said before, should have already been in three of these things already. As much as they did other characters going into Doctor Strange, for example, going into Infinity War and Endgame. They will know all the accusations of cynicism and creative cowardice that are being lobbied at them right now. They're smart people, and I have to believe that they are smart enough to see those criticisms coming and head them off the pass with some pretty inventive storytelling.
I hope that you're right. I would love to, as I've told you via messaging, to eat all the negative words that I've been saying vis-a-vis this film. But like one of the things that they social mediaed after that Captain America trailer dropped was this was always the plan. And I sort of like, was it though? Because if...
When you say this was always the plan, I think mean for the trailers. I don't think they mean for the storyline, because there was an element of them reacting to events, Marvel reacting to events. Okay. Because obviously this wasn't always a plan, because Daniel Cretton was the director of this movie, and for the longest time it was Avengers: The Kang Dynasty. Claim it was always a plan. I think they mean the trailers was always the plan.
Okay.
That would make
more sense.
Yes. Okay, good. All right, so let's get into it as best we can. Who is the baby? Where is Peggy?
She might just be out.
Yeah.
You know, she's a busy woman. She has a full-time job heading S.H.I.E.L.D. probably by that point. So yeah. I don't think it's necessarily tragic. Peggy is dead and
he looks happy, right, Steve?
Yeah.
He'd be like, he'd have a little sad Steve tear.
It's all very soft focus and golden lit.
It is, isn't it?
You know, so
these trailers look fucking beautiful, don't they? They genuinely do. They look so well shot.
So it's a step up for the Russos, for sure.
I think, I'm not too worried about her. She's a survivor. If she's dead, then we have bigger problems. And also, if we're talking about, you know, the Russos and McFeely being invested in Steve, McFeely at least also did two seasons of the Agent Carter show, so should be even more invested in Peggy.
More invested, if anything.
I would have sharp questions if anything bad has happened to Peggy.
Peggy Carter and her husband, Steven. Thank you very much. Not the other way around. He should take her name. Thank you. Do you think she is Peggy Rogers? Okay.
No, I don't think she is.
No, I don't think she is either.
Why would she be?
Because she's a go-getter.
Yeah.
Trendsetter.
Also, he's still meant to be officially dead in her timeline. So
I do have
It'd be a bit of a giveaway if she not only came... I mean, look, at the moment, everyone's like, God, she's got a type. She just likes guys who look exactly like that. and then it would be suddenly, oh, she has a type and it's men who look exactly like that and are called Steve Rogers. Hey, wait a second.
Do you think he's changed his name in their 1940s, 1950s past?
Yeah, I honestly would have had him growing a beard or something. Shut up. Yeah. That's for narrative purposes, not for my enjoyment.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see sort of how they explain his presence in that timeline.
Well, they also seem to be living on a farm, so he's keeping a lowish profile, maybe.
I mean, the guy's riding his bike through the town. That's not that lowish of a profile.
I mean, yeah, he's got a helmet on.
Do you think it's a farm? I think it's a townhouse, yeah. Isn't it? It's the same house they were in at the end of Endgame.
Yeah, that was a townhouse, but then it seemed like he was driving immediately down a country road. So I'm just saying, small town, farm, what's the difference?
But it's got to be close enough to S.H.I.E.L.D. HQ, right?
What do you think? Well, for Peggy, okay.
For Peggy, yeah, not for Steve.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Steve, yeah. Oh shit, I forgot my lunch. Can you bring it in? Oh God, he just comes in, like hiding his face like he did at the end of the first Avengers when he had a beard. He couldn't.
He just needs that one size fits all MCU disguise, a baseball cap.
Mm. Now we just like look like him at a baseball game.
Yeah, it'd be all right, wouldn't it? So Steve Rogers will return in Avengers Doomsday, the second trailer. Amon. This seemed to be right up your alley. If you were slightly skeptical, slightly dismissive of the Steve one, they knew. They saw you coming, and they went, give him Thor being Thor.
Literally every single negative word I've said about this film fly out of the window faster than Stormbreaker returns to Thor's hand. If they give Thor being Infinity War Thor for a full film, oh my goodness.
I realize the irony of me saying this, but you were such an easy lay.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So,
fully powered Infinity War Thor versus Doom. Like, I still think Doom wins that fight, but my goodness, I want to see that fight.
Sorry, I'm just really enjoying your careful pronunciation of Infinity War Thor. This is something you have worked on. You have said that a lot.
He's been saying it a lot at home in the mirror.
Infinity War Thor. That 10 times fast, listeners. Just pause the podcast and you try.
The best Thor I've ever thought.
Four. It's Infinity War Thor.
It was a really sort of, obviously not just to see Hemsworth back looking like that, feeling like Infinity War Thor just on the...
You can do it fast as well.
Just on like the seriousness of the trailer. But we all know how powerful Infinity War Thor...
Oh, he's stumbling now.
We all know how powerful Infinity War Thor is. The fact that he is praying to the Allfathers, to Odin for strength, just goes to underline how powerful Doom is.
Yeah.
And if he is praying to Odin in order to get the Odin Force, which is like this basically a power up that
Odin Force.
What
if he gets Odin Kirk instead and it's just Bob Odenkirk? I'd be like, oh no, we're dead now, aren't we?
Wow. Not necessarily. We've seen nobody.
That could also be what Doom wants, because if he wants Thor to summon that power just so he can
he's so fucking clever, isn't he, Doom?
That could potentially be what the plan is for Doom. But in any case.
But also it could be that he faces something. He could be praying for help because he faces something that cannot be defeated by just brawn. Like it might need luck or fortune or, something else as well. Like if Doom is literally holding his daughter, he can't just go in all lightning.
Which is not the
blazing
sense I get from that trailer.
No, actually,
I don't get the sense that Doom's got his daughter. I get the sense that he's been separated from his daughter.
Yes, me too.
Because he says, right, bring me back to her. He doesn't say, take her back to me.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there, if she were in danger, then he can't just go about it with like punching things. He also needs, like, it may be that he needs to find her in that case. Like, it's not a simple thing. So that might also lead him to pray for aid. It might not be immediate to the Odin Force.
So he just has this Thor, our Thor, he just has Stormbreaker now, right? Because Mjolnir from Endgame, Steve brought it back with him and put it back in the right place in the timeline, didn't he?
No.
Steve brought it back so it could be destroyed by Hell.
Steve has it at the end of Endgame when he goes back on the time platform, because he's returning everything to the right and proper
Jane
time.
Jane put it back together for Love and Thunder, and
she
Love
did.
Has it at the end of Love and Thunder.
That's right.
Or rather, no. Thor gives Stormbreaker to Love, and he's wielding Mjolnir in that final solution.
Of course.
Okay, so they're sharing.
Yeah.
It's a timeshare type thing. All right. Well, yeah, this is, I mean, again, Marcus McFeely wrote some of my favorite Thor scenes throughout the entire MCU in Infinity War, and that scene where he has with that sort of very melancholic scene that Infinity War Thor has with Infinity War Rocket on the ship in Infinity War. Mm. I think it's one of the best written Thor monologues. Hemsworth delivers it beautifully.
Yep. Yeah.
And this feels like they're tapping into that. And
100%.
As someone who I loved Ragnarok and I liked a lot of what they were doing with Love and Thunder. You know, I thought that movie did bring home the emotion in the end with Jane and everything. Mm. I understand I'm in the minority in this room. but this does seem like a return to the more serious, somber, ass-kicking Thor that we know and love.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a return to Infinity War Thor in that rocket scene. And it felt
Infinity
like...
Infinity War Rocket?
And it also felt like it was very much tied to the appearance of love in Love and Thunder, which is both good choices. I think it's nice to see that Thor, maybe more than any of the other characters, maybe Tony, has had so much growth. You know, Stephen grew physically, but you know, morally speaking, Steve was Steve from day one. Mm. Thor and Tony have both grown enormously as people in the course of the MCU. And I think Thor's journey has been really, really interesting. I love that they're leaning into that. Mm. Have you heard the weird theories about these trailers or narrative moments with the numbers? There's some numbers that flash up at the end just before the countdown.
Okay. Are there?
God help us, apparently there are. Look, this is not my theory. I'm not taking responsibility. Mm-hmm. But some people on Reddit think there are numbers which lead to time codes in the end game. They think DVD,
what?
You know,
what?
Screen, yes. And apparently, so for example, the one from the number at the end of the Cap video apparently links to somebody saying millions will suffer. The one at the end of the Thor video apparently goes to Rocket in that scene, I think, asking Thor, are you crying? Which would, of course, also tie up to Deadpool's glimpse of the future and Deadpool and Wolverine and various nonsense from then on. I don't know if any of this is accurate, but that's the theories at the moment. And given that they did put Endgame in a collection of furniture and ladders in picture, it is not beyond the realm of possibility that they are playing
the
stupid buggers.
The quantum realm of possibility.
Yes. It is not beyond the quantum realm of possibility that they're playing silly buggers with some numbers. Mm. So
yes.
I just want to let you know that theory's out there and people are reading into it.
My word. I had not heard that. That's interesting. Okay, a couple of last questions about the Thor trailer, and then we'll move on. Short hair?
Yeah,
like
correct.
It.
Yeah? As it should be? Yeah.
Yes, actually.
Yeah?
I think he rocked the long hair, but again, growth, evolution, and learning that long hair takes a long time to dry when you get out of the shower.
Well, Thor is interesting
I've
enough.
I've had that problem for years.
I know, right?
Thor, interesting enough, is one of the few Avengers who... Loki aside, has never really had an emotional connection to the stories of these movies. So maybe giving him a daughter now, played by his own daughter in real life, of course, that might be something slightly different for Thor, who was just kind of almost like, especially in Age of Ultron, was just a passenger along for the ride in that movie. Joss Whedon really struggled, I think, to connect Thor to the story of that movie.
And I think they also had this mandate that he has to have a vision of something for the future, which also kind of hamstrung what they could do, I guess.
Yeah.
I felt the emotion with Thor in Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Because
there, he was the one who had lost most to Thanos.
Yeah, but
I know what you're getting at. I feel like there's, you know, he hasn't always been front and center.
A reason
of
to stay
the,
alive. Let's put it that way.
That's maybe a bigger question. Yeah, he's lost more than maybe anyone, but he hasn't necessarily had the positive thing to fight for that Steve and Tony, I think, have had. And that actually Natasha had, because you know, read in her ledger, wiping that out, everything. She kind of did develop some stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, you're right. The positive thing is the difference.
All right. Other question before we move on to X-Men. Where is this? Is Thor on Earth? Is he at Pinewood? Is he at a little shrubbery that they've built around the back of Pinewood?
A shrubbery.
Does he have to cut down the mightiest tree in the forest with a heron? It is very, very silly. Or is he on a different planet? Is he not connected to the main story of this movie initially?
Initially, yes. But once events are set in motion, I think he gets a Bifrost back to Earth, sharpish.
With Stormbreaker?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, there's nothing to go on. It's just some trees. And I'm pretty sure it Helen, was filmed on Earth.
You're very good at identifying trees. Are these alien trees? Are these trees?
They're very nice trees.
Are these Ents?
Yes.
No, I don't think they're Ents, actually.
You don't think
but
they're Ents.
I do think it was filmed on Earth. And I think
Avengers
I think
he will shot on Earth.
I think it doesn't matter because I think he'll be back on Earth pretty soon.
Do you think that Thor will make it around, survive until Avengers Secret Wars? Or do you think that this might be a mighty exit for the mighty Thor?
I think he'll survive to Secret Wars anyway. At some point, Chris Hemsworth is going to want to sit down and maybe not spend every day in the gym, right? And
I don't know.
I think it could happen. I think he could get to that point. And I think at that point, he might just you know, say, please, just somebody kill me. Oh my God. So I wouldn't be astonished if he didn't get out of Secret Wars, but I'd be surprised if he didn't get out of Doomsday.
This is my thing, because I think also they're smart dudes and they know that they don't just want to repeat all the notes that they hit so well in Infinity War and Endgame. And so I think that Thor sacrificing himself so that his next generation can survive, that's very Tony-coded, and I don't think they're going to go there.
To be honest, I could see it. Because the list of people who can take out Thor is very small.
Amon, you brought it with you, actually, haven't you? The list... What's on the list, Amon? Number three, let's go back in reverse order. Gosh. Number three, is it Gore the God Butcher? But we all know what happened to him, right?
Yeah. I mean, if they did it like they should have done it, you know.
Yeah. Don't even get me started.
Accursed?
Is it accursed or...
Malekithia accursed?
Ronan the Accuser and Malekithia accursed.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Who could confuse those two? Please.
But yeah, Doom is on that list is the point. Doom,
but where is he? Is he number one or number two?
Are we going to have as much Doom worship on this podcast as we had Thanos worship last time? I'm not sure I'm ready for that.
The difference, the fundamental difference, I think, between Amon and James O'Helen is that James, you know, is that with banging on with his bullshit about Thanos was right. I think Amon understands fundamentally that Doom is probably going to be in the wrong.
Do you?
But he
do
has
you,
a sneaky, sneaky admiration for his talent, his particular set of skills. Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Just the way he carries himself, talking to the third person, I don't know.
You should try that. Chris Hewitt recommends it.
Oh, no.
All right, Thor. Thor may live, Thor may die. Mm. But the third trailer had some characters who have died quite a number of times already on the big screen. One of them banging on about death. When you see death, you look him in the eye and you say, hello, death, I've seen you before. Yes, the third trailer was largely set in Xavier's school for gifted youngsters. Oh, how exciting. And introduced to young up-and-comers called Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen as two even younger whippersnappers called Charles Xavier and Magneto. I know he's got another
Eric
name.
Lanshire.
Eric Lanshire.
Come on, come on.
I was really kidding. Playing chess again. They must be fucking bored of playing chess,
hey,
those two.
Hey.
I'm just getting back into chess.
That's
one of my New Year's resolutions this year. Really fun game. Obviously chess is a thing between Magneto and Xavier. I'm glad that they're bringing that back.
Would you play chess with a telepath?
No.
I don't even know I was doing that.
But presumably most of the time, Magneto wears his helmet for them to play chess. Stop
I'm just going to get my helmet out, Charles.
I mean, when their relationship has been on better terms, there's a trust between them that has meant that they...
I know. Yeah. I'm kidding.
Yeah. But yeah, like, this was, in terms of just, like, action, I guess the shot which a lot of people were rightfully talking about was Cyclops doing a massive optic blast. Also, there is... the boots of a sentinel behind her, an actual
well, what
sentinel.
We think, anyway.
Yeah.
Which would be
unless
very...
it's a really, really large Doombot.
It might not be a sentinel.
You don't think?
What do you think it is?
Well, I'm just trying to think about: are there any characters in the MCU who we know
like
are in this film
or something.
Who could become like a giant man,
like a Paul Rudd type?
Yep, maybe.
If it is a sentinel, that would be cool because. The Sentinels, which we've gotten in X-Men movies, they haven't really felt like the traditional Sentinels, at least that I grew up with in the X-Men cartoons. And this, that boot feels like they're going to do that purple, huge robot to the Sentinel, which would be very cool to see on screen. We haven't seen that yet. We got like the Mystique ones in Days of Future Past. And then also in that film, we got the sort of very cheap looking, the 70s ones, which didn't feel like the... proper actual sentinels.
I guess the closest we've come to a proper sentinel is that brief scene in The Last Stand.
Yes.
Where they're in
the danger room.
Yeah. And you see a sentinel head.
And they were done pretty well in the animated X-Men 90s.
Yes. Yeah. But most things were. Done very well in that. But okay, so this is the X-Men trailer. I was surprised that they were going with the X-Men so quickly. I must confess, and I realize this is me, but I did get genuine goosebumps when I saw the words Steve Rogers will return in Avengers Doomsday. And even now, I can't say that sentence without getting a little bit of a chill. And when I saw the words the X-Men will return in Avengers Doomsday, I also got goosebumps and maybe even did a little squee. This is very, very exciting and cool, I think. And which X-Men is this? How are they going to connect the story? Why are the Sentinels in it, if indeed there are Sentinels? The tones of these trailers has been very, very somber. The film's called Doomsday. Clearly doom awaits us all.
And did you notice what Professor X was wearing?
I think it was just slacks, wasn't it? Just a nice corduroy dungarees?
No, but it's
Armani?
Like...
bin bags?
Oh my God. It's like military fatigues with an X
was
badge.
It?
Yeah. Didn't you notice? It's almost like it's sort of almost World War II shaped, but kind of navy colored with the X badge on the breast, but like very visible. It's not the kind of look we've seen from him before. Now, Magneto appears to be in more civilian gear, like slightly, without wishing to sound offensive, old man clothes, like just warm, comfy, easy to put on clothes.
That McKellen just turned up at the set.
I mean, maybe, why not? But I think that the implication is, to me at least, that it's sort of where we kind of left these two in the, what do they call it, Happy Mansion ending. So Magneto was theoretically depowered, but actually still had some powers.
The Happy Mansion ending of
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But then sort of my question then becomes, if that's the case, then why is Cyclops in that costume? Because in that timeline, he's not in that costume. He's in like the black leather still.
But he doesn't have to stay that way forever.
It's quite a shift if we go from that to...
That's why I'm talking about what Professor X is wearing. Like, he has definitely made a shift from any version of that character played by Patrick Stewart that we've seen before. So that implies that something pretty major has gone down in their reality, that some kind of war is maybe already taking place. And I think, you know, there's a reason that they have Magneto show that he does still have some power. In the trailer, that moving of the chess piece. But I think it's clear that some shit is already going down.
Do you think that this X-Men universe is the one that Monica Rambeau is currently in, or a different one?
Don't know. And again, I don't know how many multiverses we have here. And this is one of the big questions that remains unanswered, because I think there's a very plausible scenario where that is a completely different universe, Cap, which is not connected to the Fantastic Four universe, which is not connected to the X-Men universe, which is not connected, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we could be looking at the product of 8 or 9 or more different universes all coming together in this film, or at least coming together, appearing in this film and being set up for Secret Wars in the next one.
I think that's
plausible. And I don't know how much of that is the case, but like, this X-Mansion is fucked up.
It is.
This Professor X is wearing something that looks like he's action ready as far as he goes.
This Cyclops is clearly
wailing on shit. Yeah.
Angry about something. Have we seen Cyclops or display anguished. This level of power before? I mean,
I guess the most angriest he's been in the movies is before
the movies.
Is right before he dies in The Last Stand, when just before Jean kills him, does the octopus to the river.
I don't think we've seen James Marsden Cyclops like let loose like this. I don't actually read it necessarily as anger. It could also be anguish.
It could be anguish. Yeah. It could be the X-Mansion's just been destroyed. This could be the moment that they're about to capitulate and die. And then someone or something arrives to save them and take them to our reality. Yeah, but Simu Liu has talked about, he was good friends with James Marsden on this movie and they were filming a lot together. So I think the X-Men do arrive in our reality. Otherwise, I just think it's, what's the point?
It is cool to see him, obviously, in that classic costume. And again, like, I gotta believe that X-Men 97 sort of is having a little bit of an impact here, given how great Cyclops was in that and how much people enjoyed seeing him get his due. I feel like they're bringing some of that energy into this, which would excite me a lot.
I think Feige is a huge fan of the X-Men in the animated series, so I think that might play into it as well, for sure. And also, there's, as far as we know, although we didn't know that Chris Evans was in this movie, so God knows who else has been smuggled in on set over the last few months. We don't think that Hugh Jackman's in this movie at this point.
I bet money on him being in the movie.
Yeah.
This one or Secret Wars?
This one.
Uh-huh.
It'd be very, very interesting if he was. I also don't know whether this is the X-Men team that is trapped with at the end of the Marvels. I really, really hope that the Marvels is acknowledged that's not the last we see of Monica Rambeau or Carol Danvers or Kamala Khan for that matter, and that they're not punished for having the temerity to gross less than $300 million worldwide, because they seem pretty, that seemed like it was a pretty major setup. We know Kelsey Grammer's in this, but will Lashana Lynch be in this?
We don't know,
but it's going to be very, very exciting finding out exactly what happens. Fourth and final trailer then, folks. The Wakandans and the Fantastic Four will return in Avengers Doomsday. And we get a very interesting teaser here that is primarily focused on Shuri, Letitia Wright returning, of course. She has now assumed the mantle of the Black Panther in the years following Wakanda Forever. We get to see Namora in this, and we get to see confirmation, if it were needed, but that Winston Dukes M'Baku is the king of Wakanda now.
Oh, yeah.
And the trailer ends with him and Shuri meeting one Benjamin Grimm. So the Fantastic Four are in this world. I would imagine the X-Men will follow at some point, and then how that all works out. I read a rumor this week that the movie's 3 hours, 45 minutes long. I can see why.
I mean, they can't have a cut. They don't have a cut yet, right? I mean,
oh, they'll have a cut.
But yeah, okay, but not like anything like a final cut.
No.
That's it. Come on.
Yeah. But yeah, this is going to be a long movie. It's going to be a long, long, long movie. Amon, thoughts on this teaser, this one, the fourth and final one?
Yeah. King M'Baku, it was very cool to get confirmation on that. And just to see the journey this character has gone on, especially when you consider sort of how he was thought of on the page before Black Panther came out. It was a very sort of negative stereotype, and obviously Ryan Coogler did this thing in that movie, and to go from that to now King of Wakanda, being a character that people are excited to see more of, is just a really cool thing. I'm very happy for Winston Duke. Interesting that they are building off of the end of Wakanda Forever, and it feels like there's been a bit more of that alliance between the Wakandans and the Talokans, especially when you look at Shuri's new armor. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's been infused with some Atlantean tech, which is very, very interesting. The Namor of it is also interesting to me because we haven't really talked about it yet, but the incursions and the whole universe is fighting each other side of things. That could be part of what we see in this movie. And if there is an agreed upon plan in terms of like how to like save as much as we can, Namor would be, I think, one of those characters would be like, it's them or us. I'm going to take them out. And he's going to be like a fly in the ointment type guy when it comes to that.
He's going to be someone that, you know, there's a chance he might side with Doom.
Exactly. Or, you know, maybe even signed with the X-Men, given that he is a mutant, and that could be something. So, or, I mean,
as we all know, all mutants have always gotten along. Shouldn't be any problems there.
And I mean, I don't know if they're going to do this with different universes at all, but obviously in the comics, Namor and Sue Storm had a thing. So, in, you know, he seems to be there when the Wakandans are meeting the Fantastic Four, or at least one of them. So who knows what can happen there. But yeah, intriguing.
Echoes in that scene at the end, Hellspells, of that scene from Infinity War, where, you know, they go to Wakanda and, you know, not Infinity War Thor, because he turns up later on, but Infinity War Bruce and Infinity War Rhodey and Infinity War Steve and Infinity War Nat. And
we could just call them by their names.
Okay. That's so much easier. I should have done that ages ago. You know, and they get to go to Wakanda and they meet the Wakandans. Yeah. There's a little echo of that in this scene. Otherwise, it seems to be plowing, everything we've seen seems to be plowing pretty much new furrow.
Yeah, this is, I guess, I mean, maybe if you're the Fantastic Four arriving on alternate Earth and you look for the most technologically advanced people to get in touch with, that might lead you to the Wakandans.
Would also add weight to the theory that Doom is the one flying the spaceship at the end of Thunderbolts, because we know that they're already going to maybe trying to intercept that spacecraft. So what if they meet Doom first? There's been also rumors that Doom will twist and turn one of the Avengers teams to fight by his side against one of the other Avengers teams. What if it's the Thunderbolts who show up and ally themselves with him, thinking he's the good guy?
Yeah.
Then the Fantastic Four arrive in their spaceship and they go, as you say, they naturally head to Wakanda.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm just, again, wildly speculating here just based on who's there, but it would make a certain kind of sense. I like that the Wakandans kept the diplomatic channels open with Namor and his people. That's good. So, but it seems like an awfully close relationship. And I personally, if I were a water-based mutant, would not be meeting any fucker
in the desert.
In the desert, I would maybe on the beach we can have a discussion. But like that doesn't seem like
is Namor with them? I thought it was just him. I thought it was just Shuri and Baku in that scene. It's, but maybe
there's so many shots of Namor against a pale background that I wasn't clear. Maybe I haven't watched it enough and parsed it strongly enough. But yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. We only get to see one of the Fantastic Four. But presumably the other three are just out of shot.
Just there. They're having a great time.
I'm laughing with my friends. They're not here right now. But
they'll probably be hella stressed because Doom has probably kidnapped Franklin.
Oh, he's always kidnapping.
Oh, you're bringing back your theory.
Baby napped Franklin.
He's such a kidnapper.
It's been 4 years, right? He's a kid now, I think he is. Isn't it meant to be? Yeah,
he's a little lad. But, okay, there's another interesting thing about this. So the trainer is narrated by Shuri, who says that it is the job that the King of Wakanda, I'm paraphrasing wildly here, but it is his job at this moment to prepare his people for the afterlife.
Correct. Yeah.
So, what are the people of the Earth of the MCU facing at this moment? Mm. Is it Doom-related? Is it an incursion? Is Doom going to present himself to people as a potential savior of Earth? Who knows? But clearly something apocalyptic is upon them that not even the Wakandans, with all their incredible technology, can avoid.
It is, if you will, a crisis on infinite Earths.
Oh, hey, that's a great name for it.
Oh my God, I can't believe they didn't call it that. It's crazy.
Avengers Crisis on Infinite Earths. I'm on. Get a pen, write that down. We'll get in touch with Feige.
Again, we're assuming this is definitely our Wakandans.
I don't think there's any reason to assume that we wouldn't be.
No, especially I think it's plausible, but probable, but I don't. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well.
Just saying.
Yeah. I'm not ready to fully Amon guarantee this yet. Oh. But I just want to put it out there that Damson Idris as a T'Challa,
yes,
I think, is one of the options in either here or in Secret Wars. I think, yeah, not fully ready to Amon guarantee that yet, but just putting it out there.
It is interesting. This has been very, very much rumored. So you don't get to own this as an Amon guarantee, by the way. You don't get to produce this as if you've just thought of this. And go, hey guys, I've got a crazy idea. What if Damson Idris was playing Black Panther? No. This has been rumored for a long, long time. And because they've announced nothing else beyond this, and perhaps they've learned a little bit from, although they'll probably get to Comic-Con next year and go, and here's our slate for 2027 and announce three doomsday-busting movies that, you know, people will go nuts over. But we know that Ryan Coogler is working on Black Panther 3.
Mm. With Denzel Washington.
With Denzel Washington.
Exciting.
As Robert McCall, which is so weird. It's both Black Panther 3 and The Equalizer 4.
Oh my God, it's your dream come true.
Honestly, I think I combust in the cinema. Oh God. We're going full Patton Oswalt filibuster at this point. It would be absolutely amazing. But we know that that's happening. I'd imagine that will happen in between Doomsday and Secret Wars. I still don't know whether Secret Wars is going to be a year after Doomsday. I would not be surprised. You know, I know they pulled it off once before with Infinity War and Endgame. I would be surprised if they managed to do it again, and they might need to give themselves a few months of extra grace the way they have done with Doomsday as well. But yeah, Damson Idris as a T'Challa or a version thereof, that has been heavily rumored. He has done that thing where he's denied things in interviews, but with a big smile.
Yep.
So take from that what you will. But yeah, it's exciting. It's interesting.
Good times.
Might we get the first X-Men movie in between those two films as well? Jake Schreier is working on the X-Men movie as we speak. So could it be that if they do three heavy hitters, or at least two heavy hitters, in between Doomsday and Secret Wars, I would not be surprised to see one of them be in an X-Men movie.
That'd be nice. Because I think Secret Wars in the comics was kind of, there was a big X-Men component to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would be nice if you'd established your X-Men, your new X-Men a little bit before that, I guess.
Every time you've discussed the new version of the X-Men, in my mind, we're getting that post-Secret Wars when the mashup has happened, everything is reset. Doing something in between Doomsday and Secret Wars, given that I think Doomsday ends with the creation of Battleworld, I don't know what that would then look like if you then sort of stick an X-Men movie in between those two films.
Yeah. So what do you think it should be then? Do you think, I think we are going to get Black Panther 3. Mm. Wouldn't be surprised to see another Doctor Strange in between there at some point.
Maybe finally some Shang-Chi.
Maybe finally some fucking Shang-Chi, please. That would be quite nice. But there are obviously, we're talking about the omissions. We're going to wrap this up in a second. We talked about the omissions. There are people who haven't been given a trailer. Poor them. The world's smallest violin is playing just for the 573 speaking roles who weren't given a trailer. But there are people who haven't even been announced for this movie. And I expect there to be a lot of surprise appearances in this film. Whether they'll all be as substantial as Chris Evans as Steve Rogers remains to be seen. But, you know, there were pictures of Hayley Steinfeld was at the Golden Globes at the weekend. She's pregnant now.
She is.
Congratulations to her and her husband, I believe, right?
Yes.
Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Yes, he is a
He's an American
person.
Football throwy. He's a throwy man.
He's a throwy man.
He's
wow,
a throwy
amazing
man. Yeah, he throws the ball. That is people the correct catch term, it. Yeah, yes, he's a throwy man. Yeah. And dear Lord, I just love a joke that's so rude, even I can't say it. So I'm not going to go there. Oh, that's tickled me. Anyway, we're moving on. She should be in these movies. Kate Bishop should be in these movies. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing she's not. And I'm guessing she won't be.
We don't know.
But we shall see. We shall see. But listen, long story short, too late, I'm excited. Okay, thanks for joining us. Are you excited at this point in time with I'll look it up in a second, but with so many months to go?
I'm mostly confused, intrigued, open-minded.
Intrigued is the word that I use. There's a lot that it's going to need to do to some young. And honestly, that first trailer, proper trailer where we get Doom, that is the most important Marvel trailer in a minute for me. If they are able to sell me on Robert Downey Jr.'s Doom...
What if they don't? What if they don't show
then him? Then we got problems.
What if they don't show
him? If they can get me on board, like the first like 20 or 30 seconds we see of Robert Downey Jr.'s Doom, and that feels like authentic, big, bad Doom and... everything else that thing needs to be, then I would feel a lot more comfortable and easy about sort of the lead up to this. That trailer is huge.
Why do you think they haven't?
I mean, who knows? They're still working on it, trying to sort of get the voice right. I don't know. I think when we get the trailer, Doom is going to narrate it like we've seen sort of the other characters narrate these four teasers, and that'll be interesting.
This is such a big challenge, though.
It's a massive
challenge. I mean, when you look back at the Infinity Saga, Thanos didn't have that big a build-up. Not really.
No.
And so they're not that far off where they were with Thanos, with Doom. They have to introduce him from scratch, which they didn't have to do with Thanos. But yeah, they have to do it with Doom. Mm-hmm. One of the big problems that they have with Doom is that if they are true to Doom, he's going to stay behind that bloody helmet of his for most of the movie, mm-hmm, if not all of the movie. Mm. And that's going to be an interesting challenge. I've long thought that they're going to mocap him, but I may be completely wrong about that.
He was, I think, seen backstage, as it were, lounging around in black pajamas, which suggests... Yeah.
Well, he posted a picture on Instagram a few months ago that he had dots on his face. But that may be just par for the course with these things. Mm. But it wouldn't surprise me. But at the same time, Thanos, the CG in that continues to be one of the great effects. It's just an extraordinary CG character. Mm-hmm. And you can see everything that he's feeling on his face. Downey is one of the best actors on the planet. He's going to have a couple of small windows to work with. His voice, his physicality. It's a hell of a challenge for everybody involved. And I think without making it look daft, quite frankly.
I think we're going to get that trailer. They're probably saving it for the Super Bowl. That first trailer where we get our first look at Doom is going to, I'm not going to say make or break, but it's going to go a long way to my level of excitement in the lead up to this.
What if they don't show him at all? And we have to see the movie. Can you imagine such a thing? You have to see the movie in order to get Downey as Doom.
I don't know that they're going to do that. I don't think they'll do that. But if they do that, then my dial stays at intrigued.
How much of Galactus did we see in advance?
Little bits and pieces.
Yeah. I think little bits and pieces is probably where we're headed.
Mm-hmm. What do you make in general of all of this strategy to release these four teasers and cinemas, and then...
I like it. I think it's bold. It's different. It's like I said at the beginning, the conventional thing to do would be to do a one-minute teaser, maybe show some concerned faces, get the cast out there, and then finish off with Doom's foot coming into view, or maybe, maybe his cloak or something like that.
A gloved gauntlet.
Yeah.
That's a silly tautology, but you know what I mean.
But this is interesting, and tonally, it feels very new and different. And yeah, I'm very much on board with what they're doing. I would be quite happy for them to do one of these a week in the run up to the movie.
And
quite
they
frankly
have enough characters. They have so enough that would characters. Work fine, yeah.
By the time they get to Bloke on Street, getting his own Bloke on Street will return. Gary from Iron Man 3 will return in Avengers Doomsday.
Travis Latvey will return.
Oh, Wonder Man soon.
Wonder Man. Yeah, probably the next MCU spoiler special we do.
Happy days.
Dropping all eight, is it eight episodes?
Uh-huh.
All eight episodes at once. Yeah, which means we won't be doing our weekly thing. But hey-ho, this has been long enough. So this was meant to be a tight 30. Anyway, that's it. Anyone else want to say anything else? Or we're good? We have a whole year to talk about Avengers Doomsday.
Like, yeah, we've got to pace ourselves.
I can't do the countdown clock thing because our company's Wi-Fi network won't let me access the website. I don't know why. It won't let you access betting websites, and not that I access those very often, and the Avengers Doomsday countdown clock. So I don't know what's going on with that, but I'll have to have a word with IT. Or maybe Doom is already here.
According to YouTube, it's 11 months, 11 days, 14 seconds. Hang on, I've just lost it.
11 months, 11 days?
I think so.
Wow.
Unless this was when it went up.
That makes kind of sense, does it?
I guess.
Does it?
I haven't been counting.
11 months? 11 months, 4 days.
Oh, so yeah, no, you're right. This is this is a static. This isn't the countdown.
Oh, Helen.
Because this one says 11 months, 17 days.
Oh, Helen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, that's it.
All right.
We have 11 months and to go until Avengers Doomsday. We'll be chatting a lot about it over the next year or so. We hope you've enjoyed this. All that remains now is to say goodbye, and my two colleagues of such lethal cunning will return in us banging on about Avengers Doomsday some more. Amon Warman, goodbye.
Bring me doom!
It's a dangerous thing to say on the podcast.
Peace.
Peace be unto you, my friend. It's goodbye from Helen O'Hara.
Toodaloo. I don't. No. We're not doing that.
And it's goodbye from me. We've had a lot to think about during this trailer discussion. I don't know what to think about more. Is it Magneto's helmet or Thor's growth? Who knows? Mm. Who knows? What?
A terrible human.
The multiverse of me is much, much worse.
I don't believe it.
Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.